I got a little bit stressed on the Finnish parkour to find a barber. I had to let wait my girlfriend and some friends at the finish line just to finish my haircut.
I overcame it in the end, I think, by finding magic in little interactions with people. And that really gave me some of the most, the biggest boosts, ironically, in racing too.
Welcome to the Lost Dog Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. It's day 18 at TCR number 12, and the end of the race is just starting to appear on the horizon. The finisher's party takes place in a couple of days' time, which means that the riders still out on the road are pushing hard to try and make sure they're in Kalamata to celebrate. Waiting for them is race reporter Sophie Potter, who's at the finish line to try and capture more stories from this year's race.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another day in Kalamata. I was on my way to a coffee, to get a coffee, and I saw Mike, the photographer, telling me that there is a rider in the restaurant next to where I am. So I'm going to go and talk to him.
Sophie speaks to Nicholas Müller, Cap 141.
Do you know why you sign up for TCR and why you race?
I mean, I sign up for those for ultra races because I like I mostly do it for the exploration part of it. I like going to many different places, and I find that like an ultra race is a very so in a weird way, a very enjoyable way of just going out and seeing different countries, seeing different cultures and different areas of the world and enjoying it. I find like just fast bike riding is a very good pace to see the landscapes around places. And this year with the TCR route, I was just extremely excited about the route, like starting up all the way in Norway and then crossing down to the Balkans. I've never really been in this area of the world before, so it's just... I was just very excited about the route choice this year, especially.
It's nice to live in the present, no? Yeah. Like, really, like, present moment. It's something precious that we don't get that much. No, do you get it in your normal life?
Not as much. Nowadays, it's very hard to just not get sucked into your phones and being connected all the time. And this is a very rare opportunity to just forget about the outside world for almost 3 weeks straight. And then just enjoying where you are, and then just do what you do.
Tom Bryan, Cap 379, is welcomed into Kalamata by his mum, who's prepared a special medal ceremony just for him.
Oh, well done, Tom! Yeah. Fantastic. Nice. Oh, hang on, Tom. Got something else here for you. I thought you needed a medal for this.
Okay.
Cute. So you've got a 379.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm going to put that around your neck.
Thanks.
The tie on, so I don't know how you can get it off, but you can sort it out and what you do with it. Oh, this is brilliant. And it's got TCR on the back.
Thank you.
So you will never forget this experience. Oh. Look at that. There you go.
Thanks, Mom.
Oh. Ah, bah!
Yeah, I stink right now. But oh. Everyone has as well. Oh.
Just amazing. Ooh. Absolutely amazing.
Right. Are you proud?
Proud? I don't think proud even says it. It really doesn't say it. It's just so emotional following him for day after day after day into the night sometimes. And so many people, so many members of the family, friends who've never met Tom, who know us. And my sister's village are all following Tom. It's like,
oh, amazing.
They don't know what to do with themselves now because they've got no dog to follow.
The most amazing time is is in the evening when you've just like smashed out a long ride and then you've resupplied and you've stocked up your food, and if you're lucky enough you've got like a meal in you as well, and then you set off from a town somewhere heading somewhere else randomly, you know, no idea where you are in the world, heading to a border crossing somewhere that you forgot that you were even going to, and then the sun is setting and you've got this amazing twilight, and suddenly it's when you're realizing like how beautiful this landscape is with the mountains around you, and then you just get this second wind because you've had this bit of time to kind of restock, and suddenly the legs are locked again, and it's like 6-7 o'clock in the evening and you're going for like your second or your third session, and you're just like feeling alive in this like weird, like almost like surreal video game scenario where it's just, it seems so unreal, and you're just pounding down roads and it's amazing, and it's the sun setting and it's just glorious. That's one of some of the best times. But the other best times have been when I've been able to just have a chat with some of the locals. Some of the people I've met, especially in Albania, have been beautiful. They're really curious about who you are.
Yeah, Albania is the best. Mm. I agree. Yeah. Well, congratulations again.
Thank you.
I think your mom wants to spend time with you now.
Yeah, thanks.
Many riders talk about the local people who've left an impression on them or showed kindness along the way. Sophie speaks to Gregors Oshest, Cat 162.
I've met a lot of people who were ready to help me. And it is typical when you are tourist or something, when you look like a person who needs help. So people give you not only hands, but also hearts. This is the most important. If they give you something, you feel inside you that, okay, you can be a better person if, and you learn about you. What you could change in your life to be like those people who helped you. This is a fantastic experience, very fantastic experience.
Mika Lusterinen, Cap 265, rolls into Kalamata to complete TCO number 12, despite some extra challenges to manage along the way.
Like, it's, I think, like, TCR is almost a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But doing it single speed is definitely a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so I wouldn't change anything, yeah.
But yeah, how was it to ride with diabetes? Is it something more that you had to take care of?
Yeah, like, I feel like the biggest problem with it is that I have some stuff, and maybe this is the biggest problem. I have to keep the insulin, like,
ND.
Cold.
Oh.
So... here I have a bag, I drop this into cold water and it keeps them cold for 2 days in this kind of heat, maybe one day. That's probably the biggest risk if I let this, or I let my insulin get too hot, then they are ruined and then I'm kind of cooked. So, but mostly it's fine, like my body works more normal than when I'm not riding this much bike, so because you don't really need any insulin when, or I don't really need any insulin while I ride this much.
Congratulations. We're really happy that you made it. Really. Like, we were looking at your dot and we're like, yes, he's still going.
Thank you.
Many riders arriving towards the back end of the race still want to reach the finish in as quick a time as possible. For some, though, priorities are a little different. Severin Ehrengruber, Cap 299.
You had a particular stop before arriving at the finish.
Yeah, there was one thing I had to do before finishing the TCR this year, and that's to get a haircut.
Yeah. and it's a specific one. Can you describe
one.
It for us?
So it's called a skullet. I didn't know it before, but now I know. It's bald in the front and then have some hair in the back.
I know that when you were a kid, you did the opposite. You did the Ronaldo haircut, no?
Yes, yes, I had a Ronaldo haircut, but I'm always for some special haircuts. But it all started like 10 years ago when I learned about genetics, and then that I saw that I'm getting bald slowly, and I thought this year in TCR it's time to get some some real bald haircuts, and yeah.
But why did you feel the need to do it like a few kilometers before the finish and not wait for the finish, you know?
Like, I thought about doing it like in Kosovo or Albania, but I couldn't find a nice barber, or I was still in race mode. So I got a little bit stressed on the finish parcours to find a barber.
Make the finish, to find a good barber.
Yeah, that was way more important. And I had to let wait my girlfriend and some friends at the finish line just to finish my haircut, and yeah.
Yeah, it was quite funny to see your face when you removed your helmet on the finish line.
Yeah, she wasn't too happy about it, and there are still some negotiations going on how long I can keep that haircut. Hopefully till the finisher party. Because Martin Moritz, who finished, I think, fifth, posted some days ago, he has the best haircut of the TCR, and I wanted to beat him. Not in the race, but in the haircut.
Yeah, you did. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's an achievement.
Some riders seem to find themselves in a group traveling roughly the same speed and route, which means they see one another regularly, usually at resupply stops. For Jesko van Verden, Cap 189, TCR number 12 has been a more solitary experience.
If you talk about the bubble, it's funny because I did events like this before, and I was always, after a week or so, you would find yourself surrounded by more or less the same people and meet them regularly. And I didn't really have that. I didn't meet many people at all. I would meet very few people, and they would change. Like, I don't know what it was, but it was very solitude experience.
Yeah,
but that was fine.
Yeah, how did you deal with solitude? Did you embrace it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, that's kind of why I think why a lot of people do this kind of thing, also to be alone with themselves. And I needed time for myself to think a lot of things through. So I enjoyed being on my own, and I took a lot of voice notes just because I like to write about these experiences, and then yeah, in that way I have written down a lot of my thoughts for later.
Did you laugh at some point, like very hard?
This morning I was I don't know why, I had music on the headphones and I was chased by some dogs, and then I started dancing, I don't know why. But the dogs looked super confused and just walked away, and then I had to laugh because I was like, just, I don't know, it was absurd.
I'm really glad to hear that, because it's a really good preparation for the finisher party, because we're going to dance there.
You'll have seen and heard that each rider has a cap number at TCR. But why is that, and how does it work? We're giving Sophie a break and handing over to race director David to do some explaining.
This evening, I'll be taking over from Sophie. So instead of Sophie explains, we will be having David explains. And today's topic is cap numbers. So cap numbers are allocated to each rider that takes part in TCR, and they are hand-printed onto each of the caps that the riders receive when they come to registration day. They have been hand-printed using old printing blocks and a little bit of paint ever since TCR number 3, and it's an important part of the kind of process for us as a team as we're preparing for the race. So the allocation of those numbers and the printing of them onto the caps. There's lots of numbers which are coveted by riders, and we don't take requests, but there are certain exceptions to that. The cap number 13 will always be reserved for Mike. So in each edition of the race, if you look down the rider list, you'll note that the cap numbers jump from 12 to 14, and that cap is always reserved for him in his memory. For other riders, if you're a returning veteran, someone who's participated in a number of previous editions, so for instance, Miko or Doug, someone who's taken part in multiple TCRs, we always try to give them the same cap number. We know that it means a lot to them, and we do what we can there. And equally, this year there were a couple of exceptions as well. So we made sure that Sarah Boslett received cap number 120, which was the same cap number that she had when she raced TCR number 10, and that Mudit Kohli Mohit's brother, was given cap number 128, which is the cap number that Mohit raced TCR number 10 under as well. So in those sorts of circumstances where there's a specific and special reason, we always do our best to make sure that those cap numbers are allocated to people in that way. Then we have returning riders who've won TCR before. Robin Gemperla was coming back this year, that in his last participation at TCR number 10, he took the overall win, and so he received cap number 1. Jana Kessenheimer had been first woman in the past two editions of TCR and received cap number 10, so there was a 1 in that. And Josh Ibbett, who also is a returning winner, received cap 101. For everyone else, it's a lottery. So in the same way that we run a lottery to allocate places, it's a lottery for cap numbers as well. We typically have the pairs down towards the end, and then everyone else in the solo category is randomly allocated a cap number. There's no guarantee that if a rider has taken part in a previous edition of TCR that they receive the same cap number again. So it can be perfectly possible that if you compete in multiple TCRs, you will have had multiple cap numbers. But we hope that this takes nothing away from the experience overall.
It's great to hear from riders as they cross the finish line, but there are still many riders out on the road. Here's a few messages from further back on the route. Artem Soldatkin, Cap 309.
Hey guys, I'm doing fine. I'm about to hit the penultimate parcours, which is, according to our sources, was firstly discovered by Robin 1.5 millennia ago. And we're still trying to follow his steps. It should be somewhere in Albania, but I see so many British number plates that I start thinking that I missed some turn somewhere. Anyways, yeah, the parcours should be tough, as every one of them. And I hope to finish the race before our sun turns into red dwarf. Just a little bit after our finisher's party, I guess. Yeah, that's probably it.
I'm Zuzanna Bogutska, cap number 158, and I've just finished the hardest section of my TCR till now. It was the off-road section in Montenegro to avoid the Serbian, highway. And, you know, it was so hard. I spent 4 hours to take 30 kilometers, but now I feel like Jerzy Kukuczka. I don't know if you know him, but Polish people will know him. He's a Himalayan. He was a Himalayan who died on Lhotse Mountain. He was very famous, and he never chose the easiest route. So now I'm so proud of myself, and I feel like I was a Himalayan, but I'm so tired as well.
Kristin Loam, cap number 6.
This is cap number 6, sending you a postcard from the end of parkour's 4, which I've been riding very cautiously on the lookout for dogs. I'm very happy to be done with parkour's 4. It was very nice, super nice use, but also very tough, with long climbs and a lot of very short steep climbs. And now I'm looking forward to riding in the evening, because it's the best time of the day when the light is super nice, but also it gets a bit cooler and easier to ride when the temperatures are not as high.
Time to head back to Kalamata, where race organizer and Cap 00A Andrew Phillips is there welcoming riders to the finish. Nico Dangel, Cap 367.
Thank you. Ah, what a day.
Congrats.
Hi, thank you.
Congrats, well done.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you all.
And were you in a race out there?
A bit, but I saw a few people. I took it as a race. I don't know if they took it as a race, but I just went all out on the last climb, so...
Nice. Well, you won.
Yeah, I won the race. Let's go. Yeah, it was amazing.
Your legs still feeling good at the end then?
Yeah, I felt really good, actually. Somehow I was some energy came back on the last two climbs. On the last climb, I was just crying all the time and going all out. It was beautiful. And yeah, now I'm really happy.
How do you still have so much energy at the end of a 5,000K ride?
I don't know. I don't know how it worked. I bought like 6 cans of soft drinks at the last restaurant. Maybe they just somehow drove me here.
That probably helps.
Yeah.
Race coordinator Hannah Lobelessier speaks to Josh Roberts, Cap 43.
How long have you been thinking about racing it?
Since 2019. I'd just taken a few months off work and I was bikepacking for a few weeks in France, and then I saw read in the news about Fiona Coblinger and the Transcontinental, and that's the first time I'd heard about it. And that just put this spark in me that I'd always want to try and do this race. So that was 7 years ago.
And what was it about it that was so appealing?
Just the, you know, the sheer scale and distance of the race. I'm not someone that is fast, but I can generally feel like I've got a good endurance engine, so I thought it'd be a great way of seeing a continent. I loved all the parkour, but parkour 2B was one of my favourites, and parkour 3, the bobsled.
Yeah.
I mean, I was tempted to go around again.
What was it about 2B that you liked in particular?
I think it was the time of day I did it. I was doing it at sunset. I knew where I was staying, and it just felt like I had the whole place. I didn't see anyone else, and there was this part where you just came through this massive open downhill field, and it was just brilliant. It was just epic. It was just kind of zooming down this field
with the Tatras Mountains in front of you.
Yeah, it was just brilliant.
Nod Nelson, Cap 78, arrives at the finish with a story that we assume to be true, and that he's not a liar with regards to his pants being on fire.
So I'm riding along. I get stung by a bee. I stop to get my antihistamines out, which I think are in the back.
Yeah.
They're in the front. I get the antihistamines out, take them, I cycle off. And I'm on that E09 road, you know, the one that goes around the edge of the island. And then all of a sudden, my brakes come on, like really hard, like sort of screeching. And there's a burning smell. I'm like, what is going on? And I look down and my shorts have fallen out because I left this open. And they've wedged in here and burnt a hole in them.
So they got jammed between the frame and the tyre?
Yeah.
Oh.
Super lucky. Didn't go in the gears, just stopped in a straight line. Well dodgy. And it just reminded me, like, on one of the podcasts, there was a guy who kept saying, it's not over till it's over. And that's exactly what it made me think.
You never know what's going to happen.
You just don't know, you know.
So are those shorts for the bin now?
I don't know.
Can they be repaired?
I just shoved them in the bag. I didn't look at them.
Oh, yeah.
They walked straight in there.
Not showing me a picture of it. They're just completely jammed between the frame and the wheel.
Yeah.
You should try sending them to Albion. They're good at doing repairs.
Yeah, I did think that, actually.
Yeah.
Speaking of Albion, while on the road, Andrew spoke to some of our race partners. Now at the finish line, he caught up with Albion's very own Jack Hauker.
It is another beautiful day in Kalamata. I've got boats behind me, boats in front of me. We're at Skipper's, the finish line cafe, that's been treating us well, serving us with plenty of sandwiches and cold beers. And there's a very sort of lazy and sort of fulfilled feeling at finish line, I'd say.
Yeah, actually, it looks absolutely incredible. You've got flowers, pink, lovely pink flowers above your head. You're topless with a pair of sunglasses on, and I can see yachts all around you. So I really feel like the finish of TTR looks completely unlike any other part of the race, beginning, middle. It really is like it's a completely unique look, the finish of TTR. Makes it almost quite appealing. How did it leave you feeling being out there? What did you uncover about yourself? Are you the same person you were?
Yeah, I think what was interesting about this race was that I had that competitive element taken away from me. So the question was, would I still enjoy it? Would I still ride hard? Would I still get something out of it? And the answer was yes. I was still able to push myself, maybe not to the same level. But, you know, I still rode pretty hard and managed to average about 330K a day. What I decided was that for my next races, I'm going to wait for something that really excites me. I'm not just going to sign up for something because I feel like I have a compulsion or a need to race. I don't have anything to prove. But at some point, something will come along.
You spent a shitload of time preparing or working on the Transcontinental book over the past 12 months, The Race That Changed Cycling. So you couldn't have really been any deeper in the history of the race, the history of the sport in some ways, thinking about all those things that came together to make the race and how it's changed. What was it like reflecting on that and then being out there at the latest edition of TCR, sort of feeling that connection, I guess, from quite early on to today?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a huge motivation for me to race because working on the book just gave me this huge sense of perspective about the history of the race, how much it means to so many people, and how much it's always been to so many people. And to be, obviously, I've been part of the last four or five editions in six, even in different ways. But to get the chance to ride again and to understand TCR from its rawest perspective, and remind myself what that's about, that feeling of crossing a continent, riding a bike across Scotland, because that's really what all it boils down to. That was an incredible privilege. And the only thing I'd say about that now really is that it's the kind of thing that needs more time to sink in to gain that perspective on it, because kind of the whole point of it is that it's this like almost unrealistic feat. It's sometimes time is measured in time, and sometimes time is measured in space, and sometimes it's measured in a combination of both. And a relatively small amount of time has passed for a relatively large amount of space. I think I need time to catch up so that I can process the space.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm feeling it's almost strange here. I'm trying to ask what the meaning of life is from you before you've even had time to think about it. And actually, you're right that allowing ourselves to think about these things, or just to let them sit for a while afterwards, we all have completely different takes on stuff 6 months later. We don't realize the impact it's having. And I guess that is the magical thing, particularly about something like TCR. Just how long you're out there. And that's the kind of thing that actually blows my mind each year when the race comes around again, is what an enormous commitment it is for those people who are out riding. And obviously there are those that go back every year. There's Sarah, there's Robin, and there's lots of others. But for a lot of people, I guess it is a once in a lifetime experience.
Many riders at TCR have been cycling long distances for decades. But for others, this is a much more recent pastime. Simon Van Tatum, Cap 87, has made it to Kalamata on two wheels and, for a very short period of time, four legs.
Cycling is actually quite new to me. I only really got a road bike a year ago. But I'd been a rower. I'd been a competitive rower at the university. So I had had a tough schedule. And actually, my rowing coach tried to do TCR last year, but he got food poisoning after 3 days. Oh. And he told me about it, and I was like, that sounds insanely fun. And it was insanely fun, so he was right. But it was also, he also said it was the most, he said, imagine the most difficult thing in your life. It will be like three times more difficult than that. And I think he was right in saying that too. It was really tough.
But how did you overcome the fact that it was hard?
I overcame it in the end, I think, by finding magic in little interactions with people. I wanted to be kind and open and have spontaneous interactions, even if that meant it taking a little bit of time and being kind and polite. And that really gave me some of the most, the biggest boosts, ironically, in racing too.
And you also had a particularly funny one. I saw you on a donkey.
On a donkey. I was a bit worried about that because one of the rules is all forward travel must be self I don't know.
Self-powered.
Yeah, self-powered. But I was cycling down just past the border of Greece, I think. And there was two men with two donkeys coming up the road. And I told some friends earlier that I wanted to ride a horse as a little side quest. I thought it would be fun and that it would also help not take everything too seriously.
Yeah.
But I hadn't been able to find a horse. And I saw these donkeys and they looked quite strong. Yeah. And I asked the man, can I put down my bike here and ride one of the donkeys a little bit upstairs? Because they were also sitting on the donkeys. And it took some time explaining, but then I did end up on the donkey for a little bit. And I actually took some extra photos of my bike laying in the distance in the back to show that I was riding the donkey in the opposite direction.
But you didn't gain any advantage.
No,
besides having a good laugh.
There is just time to welcome one more rider into Kalamata. Mudit Kohli, cap 128, rolls into the finish line to complete TCR number 12. Mudit's brother Mohit was killed in a collision 2 years ago while attempting to break a cycling world record. Outside Skipper's Bar, a crowd of riders has gathered to see Mudit cross the finish line.
Oh my god, what a suspense!
Thank you.
Well done. We're so proud of you.
Oh. Right. I've got a stamp for you here if you like.
Yeah. Oh. Was that? Oh yeah.
Yeah. Is that, yeah.
Make it official.
Make it official.
Yeah.
You know.
For the race, like, I didn't have like words. You know. To my family and I, like, we're so grateful. Like, you've kept his name alive. Like in this. In the ultra world, and like it. Thank you so much for that. I couldn't figure out before. Like I was too overwhelmed, and like the whole team. Like throughout the race, I met so many riders who spent some time with him, shared their stories, and like that comes from like the whole team, like the community that you fostered, and Hannah, Andrew, everyone. Like it's a beautiful community, and that's why my brother loved it so much. Nah, thank you so much, guys.
It's the least we could do.
Yeah. Throughout the race, I met like so many riders who shared some stories, and like, and I love that. Like that helped me as well. You know, connect with him a little more.
That's awesome. That's really nice.
You told me like at the starting line that riding your bike made you feel closer to him.
Yes.
So you had a lot of kilometers.
Yeah. I chatted with him a lot. On the bike, yeah, throughout, like, yeah, these 18 days. Yeah, just lots of talks and, yeah, realized, like, it's been hard, like, for, like, the whole family, Sarah, everyone, like, these past 18 months, and it's gonna be harder, but, like, there's something also, like, there's something else I realized that even though he's not here, his presence is still felt, like, through just his aura, like the memories he left, his laughter, everything, he's still there, and like she proved it as well with her ride and what he believed in, like she proved it, and I couldn't be happier thank you.
As another evening comes to an end at TCO number 12, there's just time for a recap from Sophie.
Time for the recap of the day. Today we spent another day at the finish line, and it's funny to watch what happens after the first wave of exhaustion wears off. After a couple of days, riders suddenly start wanting to moving again. You almost wonder if they know what to do with their bodies though, now that they're no longer attached to the bike. Sarah Bosslet, cap 120, discovered today how 98% of the population actually spends their holiday visiting historical sites, eating ice cream, and apparently learning how to do absolutely nothing is much harder than riding across Europe.
Meanwhile, the riders who can finally feel their legs again and willing to be seated again on the saddle are already back on their bikes, heading out for a gentle 60 km recovery ride to the nearby waterfall. Apparently, the water is incredibly refreshing. Out on the road, riders are still pushing hard to make it before the finish line closes, but don't worry, the finish party is on Saturday, and let me tell you, if you do arrive while the finish party is still going, you're going to receive a hell of a welcome, probably straight into the Macarena. Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl is real?
Spotted Harald Riener, Cap 116, spending his first night after the TCR with his bike in his bed. Rumor has it, his wife was the one who took the picture. I guess after 2 weeks together, some relationships are simply too hard to let go of. Spotted Robert Tremblay, Cap 122, doing what he describes as the most dangerous thing he did during this year's TCR. Not the Balkan dogs, not the mountain passes, not the really high temperatures, but a sun lunger, just 250 kilometers from the finish. Because let's be honest, getting back up from a sun lunger might be the hardest climb of the whole race. The good news? There are plenty more waiting for him in Kalamata. Tonight, 141 riders have now reached the finish line. 47 are still between CP4 and Kalamata. 171 riders scratches along the way. And 39 riders are still riding toward the finish outside of GC. No matter which category you belong to, we will be waiting for you. No matter what time you arrive, there will always be volunteers waiting at the finish line. And usually one, two, three, four finishers who simply cannot bring themselves to leave, ready to cheers on every new arrival. Because after everything these riders have been through, everyone deserves to cross the finish line with applause, a smile, and a cold beer waiting for them. That's it for tonight. Good night and good ride, everyone.
As always, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apajura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.